Good evening, Little Saigon. It's almost 8 p.m. in Seattle, Washington, on September the 11th, 2019. That's 9-1-1-1-9. And thus far, no additional false flags have been done in memoriam by the deep state, and that's good news. I'm just here drinking my coffee and pondering the imponderables. Often we talk about terrible disasters like maybe some crazy mythological thunderbird slash lahar streaming off of Mount Rainier towards Seattle at 300 miles per hour. It'll hit Olympia and Tacoma and Federal Way and Burien. You can see the little French bulldog beans trying to run from it. Sadly, Beans is swept up by the Lahar. Yeah, so many things could destroy us. We could get hit by a comet or some hospital superbug virus. There are lots of things that could wipe us out. We could have a nuclear war. Lot of terrible, terrible, terrible things could happen. And frankly, we could enter a time where food will get scarce. And some of you are a little bit picky about what you eat. And I would include myself, actually. I'm kind of picky about what I eat. For example, I don't eat shellfish if it's a filter feeder. At this point in human history, if it survives by filtering the gumbus out of the sea, specifically by filtering shit out of the sea, I do not eat that thing, that unclean thing. Spoken to me by my God in the ancient texts of my religion. But I do eat bacon, so I guess I'm not really kosher. But no, I don't eat shellfish, I don't eat shrimp, I don't eat crab, I don't eat clams, I don't eat anything that filters the gumbus of the sea in any way whatsoever. And frankly, I don't eat much seafood at this point. And if you come back to me and say, "Well, Dan, what about factory-raised catfish or salmon?" I'd say, "Dude, you need to research that shit, buddy. That might not be as healthy as you think it is." Yeah, I don't know. But you can't be too picky, right? Because a time's coming. Time's coming when the only choice you have is to be so prideful, so tasteful, so special in your thinking, like you're somebody that goes to Cloud City Coffee and gets yourself a special artisanal McMuffin. You think that's gonna last, baby? Yeah, I agree. The Cloud City Coffee in the Maple Leaf neighborhood of Seattle, their McMuffin sandwich, their English muffin sausage egg breakfast sandwich is quite good. But do you think that's gonna last, baby? Time's coming when you're gonna have to accept the fact that this stuff you gotta eat. That was a horrible chord. That was terrible. I have so much to learn about the keyboard, it's not even funny. But here's the thing, dude. There is a protein that's readily available. If you're the average American shut-in, you might have a great deal of this protein on hand. I'm talking about cat. I'm talking about the feline. I'm talking about that little furry creature. It contains miraculous vitamins and ancient oils and greases, and it cooks up mighty tasty in a taco or some type of curry. In the time to come, the time of the Gumptus folk and the cannibal hordes and the various crocodile kings and Commander Crumbcakes of the various street levels and the alleyways, in the time to come, people will understand that my rancho cato, my ranch cat farm, will make me the cattle queen of Little Saigon. I will raise cat by the hundreds, and people will get their curry. I will raise cat by the thousands. I will raise cat and I will provide taco meat. I will provide curry meat. I will provide meat to those Italian restaurants. Yeah, so I don't know, folks. I really don't know. But I think one of my possible futures is to be the cattle queen of Little Saigon, and my cattle will be actually be cat, and that'll be a nice play on words. My cattle, it'll be misspelled. The misspelling will make people feel less monstrous. But don't worry. You need to know the truth. The truth is, the cat would do this to you. If you died in your apartment one night, the cat would run out of food and get kind of hungry. Yeah, so anyways, I think that's enough of the cat topic. You can eat your cat, it cat is food. Next topic, the ant apocalypse. And you might say, Dan, what fresh hell is the ant apocalypse? Well, as I've discussed, folks, I don't know why it's happening. It could be, truly could be, part of Lucifer's plan. Which means it could be that these planes flying overhead are literally salting the earth. Like, literally, the oldest plan in the book, salting the earth, went high-tech. And they are dropping gumbus from the skies, and they are fucking up the weather. And if they simply stop, the earth might repair itself. But they're not stopping. That could be true. I think, you know, Dane Wigington believes that we're doomed. Kind of. If we stop, but we need to stop. Like, if the Earth has a chance, we need to stop the geoengineering that the authorities, the crocodile says, isn't really happening. Just like he says, we didn't really test those nukes on those people. But the crocodile lies. And if the crocodile can cover up a mistake, no matter how many people have to die, the crocodile will do it. Yeah, so anyways, I do think that maybe there's some stuff going on with the life system, but I've thought about what are the weird things we could see, the weird types of feedbacks, the weird behaviors. And one of the things that occurred to me, I was listening to this, to Dane Wigington talk about the stuff on the Weather Channel about shark attacks and how people say, well, this increase in shark attacks proves that the shark population's rebounding. Well, actually, Dane Wigington's right. The most likely explanation of shark attacks is they're running out of food. Sharks do not prefer people, okay? I'm gonna let you in a little secret. A shark wants to eat fish. It doesn't really want to eat people. It will eat seal, but it doesn't want to eat people. We're not its natural prey. If sharks are eating people, it's because their natural prey are dying or gone. And also, you guys know I'm a bit of an amateur, fiction writer. I got a few stories I need to start writing immediately. I haven't been writing in a few months. That's my problem, not yours. I think in part the job working out there at Willy Wonka sucks the fucking life out of you. At least it does me. Yeah, it just sucked the life out of me. But I was thinking about what are the weird repercussions? Like, how horrific could it get? And I imagine, and here's why, because here's the deal. Some of these little coconut ants, these little sugar ants, have been showing up in my kitchen, and I live on the fifth floor. I think they're coming up through the pipes. It's not too bad. Like, right now, it's just onesie-twosie, and they might just be scouting. I truly don't know what's going to happen next. But it occurred to me the other day, like, what if all the ants on Earth suddenly just ran out of food, kind of like the sharks, and their only option is to go up. And basically, the biggest food item in terms of carbohydrates, fatty acids, protein, and all kinds of nifty vitamins and Prozac. Yeah, what if the ants suddenly, explosively, just went out of the ground and started attacking people? Because when you think about it, there's got to be enough ants on planet Earth to kill a lot of people. I mean, okay, one ant, one bite, one little dose of poison, no big deal. But if you get thousands of bites, that's a lot of poison, and then you get anaphylactic shock. And if these things start eating you, how fast can they eat you if they're really hungry? So yeah, the ant apocalypse. And I can imagine if you lived in Des Moines or Burien or Little Saigon, but let's pretend you live in Des Moines, Washington. Let's say that you have a pet bulldog named Beans. I imagine the day of the ant apocalypse, Ant Day Zero is what they'll call it. In the year 2032, after the human race finally climbed its way out of the Glumbus hole, they'll remember Ant Day. Little Beans will never forget it. Little Beans can't forget it 'cause he ain't around no more. Hey, honey, what's that over there? What do you mean? What's that over there, honey? What's that over there? What do you mean? What are you talking about? What's that over there, honey? That little bulge in the yard. Holy crap. Is that a molehill? Beans, stop barking at that damn thing. Beans, shut the fuck up. And little Beans barks at the bulge in the yard, and the couple, the husband and wife couple, the owners of Beans, stand there looking at the bulge as it grows bigger. And then suddenly and explosively out of the bulge comes a glumbus of ants. Black ants and red ants. Yellow ants, coconut ants. Sugar ants, chocolate-covered ants. Ants in your pants, a lot of ants. Even your old dead aunt. I'm just kidding. She's dead. A lot of ants pour out of the ground, and Beans tries to fight them, but they attack him. But Beans fights and buys the owners time to get to their car. Honey, we gotta get out of here. There are ants everywhere. We gotta save Beans. Ruff, 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 ruff. No. Beans cannot be saved. Beans is now being eaten. The ants are vomiting as they eat him, but they are devouring him. The husband and wife make it to their vehicle. They speed away to the marina where they keep a boat. It's chaos. Gas stations are exploding. It's chaos. Homes are on fire. The streets are filled with all kinds of scrumbly folk. People are trying to shoot at the ants with their shotguns. That isn't working too good. It's waves and waves of ants as they drive to the marina. So many ants that it fills up the wheel wells of their vehicle with the dead bodies of ants. People are screaming, "Oh, the humanity, oh, the humanity." And the orca whales are out there laughing at us. The two that are still alive. And the married couple, they make it to the marina in Des Moines. They quickly get through their boat. They start cruising out, and just in time because the ants pour into the sea. And many years hence, they remember little Beans, the hero that bought them the seconds to get to their vehicle so that they did not get eaten by ants. And they remember Beans by building a little statue to Beans. And the statue even, has an automated fart trigger. So you can smell a little bit of Beans. Beans who saved them. All glory to Beans. Yeah, little Beans. Little Beans the hero, fighting the armies of ants as they rise up out of the ground. Because here's the deal, folks. If we are literally fucking the world the way that we might be doing it, again, I say might because I honestly don't know what to believe. I pray to the Lord in heaven. I say, Lord in heaven, help me see the truth. But here's the thing. Our prayers get answered in different ways. What if the real truth that the Lord is showing me is that the world of man, the world of woman, the world of humans has become one lie piled on another? What do you really know about what's going on around you? What do you really know about crime? What do you really know about the situation in Venezuela, other than what's told to you through some fucking medium? And you could say to me, "Well, Dan, I tune into all the alternative channels. I listen to InfoWars. I listen to Alex Jones. I listen to all these alternative news sites on YouTube." Well, maybe, and maybe that's good information, but I truly can't tell you. I can't even tell you that you should be listening to me. I mean, given how insane I am, I would say, do you want to be on those lists? Because there are lists, and one of them's a grope list. And let me tell you something, there's a reason why I don't like flying no mo, and it ain't just because of the money. It's because I'm on the grope list, and I usually get groped when I go to the airport now. And I'm not even attractive. I'm a fat, burned-out, middle-aged, 50-year-old fucking computer programmer. And yet, I will still get groped. And that's weird. So I truly don't know what's going to happen next, but if we are fucking Mother Nature, or let me rephrase this, because I don't want to be heretical. I'm trying to be a good Christian. So let me rephrase this. If we are destroying this gift of nature that God has given us, given that science is the study of consequences, you know, that A causes B causes C type bullshit, we need to accept the fact that there might be some fucking consequences. That there's not some infinite free lunch thing going on here. So yeah, could there be an ant apocalypse where the ants rise up out of the ground and beans protects us from the ants? That movie's coming out in the year 2024. Our Little Hero Beans. Anyways, I'm going to kill that topic for now. Our little hero, he's not a zero, his name is Beans. Our little hero, he's nobody's zero, his name is Beans. It's Cooking with Beans. This week, Cooking with Beans, had a fricassee of French Bulldog's thigh. Yeah, that's the thing, folks. You know, we can be all picky about what we'll eat, what we won't eat. We won't eat cat, we won't eat French Bulldog, we won't eat clams, we won't eat oysters, mainly because of that really creepy scene from that movie Spartacus. Some people like oysters, some people don't, but frankly, Sir Laurence Olivier, yeah, that was not you and fucking Tony Curtis, fuck. That was not good for me, personally, as a human being. And I'm not homophobic, I just don't want to talk about the whole oyster scene. So, I don't know if you've noticed this, but when it comes to things that are important, like the climate, like all these stupid fucking wars, like the economy, the people that run the world have their own magical special language. And sometimes you'll say, well, I must be stupid because I don't really understand what the fuck they're talking about, especially when it comes to the Federal Reserve, especially when it comes to all these Fed bankers and their fucking crypto, you know, ancient Sumerian bullshit banker language. And this is because they're a part of a specialized class, a cadre. You know, when I studied Soviet history, you would call these folks the nomenklatura. These were the upper-level technocrats that enabled Soviet society to sarcastically, air quote, work as long, you know, as well as it did work. It didn't work that well, and being nomenklatura meant you were privileged. But you also became skilled in speaking these languages that were designed not to make any sense at all. And that's especially true in the United States. Probably more true here. Probably way more true here because, again, the way the Fed does things, it's not like, you know, the Stalinist central planning. It is Stalinist, but they don't plan how many tractors. They don't plan how many cars. They simply manipulate the value of work by manipulating the value of the dollar. And by doing so, they do pick and choose industries and parts of the economy to succeed or fail. By weakening the dollar, by lowering interest rates, guess what? They create something called the housing fucking bubble and the housing economy. It's an artificial fucking economy. This fucking turning houses into fucking gold buckets. It is sideways. It does not work. It cannot work. It can only harm the ecosystem. But the Federal Reserve, they'll use all kinds of fancy language to justify their bullshit. And I don't get me started on the whole dot plot bullshit. in a lot of ways, Janet Yellen was the greatest master. She would say nothing. She would speak for 10 minutes and say a lot of nothing. And then she would periodically contradict herself. And then she would say wild, outlandish shit, knowing it's wild and outlandish. Like, one time she said we need to run a high-pressure economy. What the fuck does that mean to a woman, to a man or woman, a single parent in 2014 or 2015 that's working four jobs? I think that they're already under a lot of fucking pressure, people. These people that run our country, that run the world, they use the specialized languages. They talk about things. And actually, some of this comes up in The Big Short, the movie The Big Short. But they use these specialized languages to bamboozle us, to cheat us. They don't really say, you know, this is a big casino. They say we're creating a market. They don't say this is a failure contract. This is a credit default swap. If they called it a failure contract, if they called it a contract based upon a bet that something's going to fail, people might look at it differently. But no, it's a credit default swap. And derivatives make sense to nobody. Really, all a derivative is the association of additional value to something that probably is one or more degrees separate from the asset. So basically, a derivative is like value associated to the asset, but it's not the asset itself. It might just be an insurance contract. Technically, credit default swaps are derivatives. Now, all these things are forms of bets, and if you called it a big casino, you'd be accurate. If you called it a dark pool casino for the richest people in the world, that's what it is, folks. If you want to understand what we're talking about, when you're talking about derivatives, when you're talking about credit default swaps, you're talking about literally the last great super casino for the richest people that ever lived. That's what it is, folks. It's a giant super casino. And it is complicated, and it's dark, and there, and if you're asking, is it fully understood? Well, I don't know. Is the dark web fully understood? Because the dark web and these weird financial markets have a lot in common. It's kind of understood. They kind of know what's going on. I once heard a statistic with respect to the specific nomenclatura financial class of technocrats. I once heard a statistic that we have been leveraged up worldwide somewhere in the vicinity of 4 quadrillion in derivatives contracts. That's credit default swaps, that's everything. Well, that's a little bit crazy, okay? That's the collateralized debt obligations, that's all the nasty toxic shit, that's all the weird bonds, that's all the fucking junk bonds and corporate debt. That somewhere, if you put that all together, you end up with a liability for the planet Earth of 4 quadrillion, that's 4,000 trillion. And if the current GDP is somewhere around 80 trillion, folks, you never pay that off. I mean, the only way you pay that off is through inflation. That's it. If you want to pay for every liability in the system right now, if you want to pay off every loan, if you wanted everything to be ground zero even, you would have to hyperinflate the US dollar. And I think that's their plan. I think that is their plan. Anyways, I don't want to spend too much time on this topic, but if you want to get to the nub of it, part of what they do, part of what these representatives to the crocodile do, these government technocrats, these nomenclatura, is they use obscure languages to hide the truth, but they do still tell some truth. There has to be a little bit, because that's part of the scheme too. So if you're really careful, if you're really sensitive, if you can really look through the veil of all their bullshit, you can find little pieces of truth. Like, for example, many years ago, Janet Yellen said something that I found to be completely ridiculous at the time. And now, thinking about what Dane Wigington's been saying and what Guy McPherson's been saying, and given Jim Hansen's paper on global dimming, now that Yellen quote makes more sense. I mean, of course she's a banker, but she, so what does that have to do with the environment? But she said something like this. She said, "There will never be another recession in my lifetime." And I thought, well, that's funny, because that would imply that we were now in a pure Stalinist economy and it will never be allowed. But here's the thing. None of that makes any real sense unless the reason why there can't be a recession is that they literally can't stop putting the aerosols into the atmosphere. That if the world economy slowed down by 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 or 5%, that would have a direct impact upon the amount of aerosol masking, global dimming being produced by industry. And that would be really bad, because that would almost immediately by itself add about 1 degree Celsius to the Earth's temperature, and that happens within a few weeks. And here's the thing, folks, for all you Maunder minimum little ice age fucks out there, Dane Wigington's right. Those events were fractions of a degree change that had huge impacts. We're not talking about fractions of degrees here. We're talking about many, many degrees Celsius shifts that, once this starts happening, becomes impossible for any species as we know it on Earth to keep up. Never in life's history would it have to keep up. So that's the thing, folks. If you believe the story that Guy McPherson is telling, you know, if you believe that story. Anyways, I don't want to talk about that Nemo. Because the weather people are the same way. The climate people are the same way. They use, in some cases, obscure and sideways language because they want to avoid telling you what they really think is the truth. I read the Shakova paper about the Eastern Siberian Arctic Shelf and the methyl hydrates, and she really doesn't come out and say it's the end of the world. She just says, hey, there is a potential for a huge amount of methane to be released at once. Draw your own fucking conclusions. Anyways, I beat that topic to death. Next topic. So there's this whole Bolton thing. Bolton got kicked out of the Trump administration. Oh, yay. And some people are saying, gee, Dan, doesn't that prove that Trump is legit? I don't think so. I mean, you guys, I'm an anarchist, so I don't have any dog in your fucking crocodile hunt. If you think that Trump is the second coming of whatever, congratulations. I personally think it's great if a neocon is not anywhere near somebody that has the power to wage war. So if you're asking me, is it cool that a neocon piece of shit like Bolton is out of the administration? Well, that is pretty cool, because he's a neocon piece of shit. He is a school of the Americas, torture Honduran natives, rape and kill frickin' Latin American nuns, fucking piece of shit. And so, no, it's no great sadness that John Bolton got kicked out of the Trump administration. But here's the thing, folks, we don't really know why. And Trump, I don't know. There could be reasons that we don't understand. I really don't know why. A lot of this is a question of what they think they can get away with and what they need to do. What they need to do is keep people from going too crazy. They need to keep people's eye on a different ball. They don't want people asking the wrong questions. They don't want people asking, why is it the case that my ability to take care of my family, to pay for rent, to buy food, why is it getting more and more difficult at an alarming rate? They don't want people to think about that. They want you to stare at your fucking glowing rectangle and imagine your Jetsons future and pretend. So I don't know what to think of the Bolton thing. You know, one of the things about Trump kind of reminds me, this is how I think of Trump vis-a-vis the deep state. If you've ever seen the original Red Dawn, and I mean the original, the Patrick Swayze, Charlie Sheen, fucking Red Dawn. That fucking Red Dawn. There was a guy in that freaking movie, the father of the high school ASB president dude, the dude that was the mayor of their town. Like, I think it was called Calumet City or something, the mayor of their town. Calumet City or something. And after the Russians invade and the Nicaraguans invade and they round up all the guns, they basically, you know, get a hold of the mayor and say, listen, you go along with us or you basically get the boot. And when I think of Trump and I think of the deep state, it kind of reminds me of that relationship between the mayor in the movie Red Dawn and that Nicaraguan colonel, the Colonel Bea, Colonel Bala, the fucking dude that, you know, cries at being in such a cold place and wants to be back to the warmness of his coconut trees, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, that relationship between the Russians and that mayor, it kind of makes me think about the relationship between what people call the deep state, the dark state, the underground mole people of power, and Trump. Trump is a lot like that mayor. It, you know, best case scenario, he's kind of a weak-spined, you know, order follower, a toady. The most likely thing he's going to do is basically do whatever he's told. So I have no idea what to think of this Bolton thing. It's kind of like him standing up to the Fed. A lot of this looks like Shakespeare. A lot of this looks like the old, the lady doth protest too much. That's the thing about what Yellen said. Yellen said there can never be another recession in my lifetime. Anyways. So I don't know what to think of good old Trump. I know a lot of you out there who listen to me voted for Trump for the simple reason that Trump was not Hillary Clinton. And folks, man, do I totally get it. I totally get it. If I were still into voting, it would be like, wait a minute, how's that even a question? You have to vote for Trump. Not that I like Trump that much, but Hillary's terrible. You have to. But the problem is that I'm not into voting. It doesn't work. And the choice was terrible, okay? The choices they give you are terrible. They say you can have lung cancer or you can have pancreatic cancer. Which one are you going to vote for? The lung cancer or the pancreatic cancer? These are the choices they give you. You can have crabs or you can have chlamydia. Which do you want? And I don't know what to tell you, folks. I mean, as time goes on, the time worm, you know about the time worm. You should know. You should know about the time worm, the ancient worm that lives so deep within the earth. The time worm moves through the earth like a dark cloud of Mingus. The time worm has eyes that are glowing red and teeth that are yellow from eons of pain. The time worm is in the earth devouring the present to poop out the future. Yeah, the time worm, anyways. So, next topic. Last cycle of the Scroobily, and I call it the Scroobily. I have a podcast titled Scroobily. It happens about every 8-10 years now, and this is where the people that fuck over the planet get a giant check, a giant reward, and the rest of us get screwed. And I'm fairly certain that the next iteration has just begun. But Janet Yellen could be right. They might never, to the extent that they control the media, that they can produce propaganda, they might never admit another recession ever again. They might simply pour bad money on the economy and keep those particulates going into the atmosphere. I really don't know. But the interesting thing is that if the economy does slow down, it's going to either prove or disprove the global dimming thing. Because things will get bad really fast, according to Guy McPherson. If we lose the economic activity, we lose the particulates, we lose the aerosols, we lose the global dimming, and then we lose the planet. So yeah, I don't know what to tell you. So, but last global financial crisis, it was Bernie Madoff. He was the one to blame, not the Lloyd Blankfeins, not the Jamie Dimons, not all the fucking douchebags that ran the fucking banks. Not the guys at AIG, not fucking little Timmy Geithner. No, no, no. It was Bernie Madoff that we could ceremonially turn into the one villain. And folks, I'm not here to claim he was innocent or that he was a patsy. He was a Ponzi schemer. He was a crook. If that were the question, it's not a question. The guy was a crook. But here's the thing, folks. Was he the number one most dangerous fire starter on Wall Street in 2008? Not even remotely. It's like comparing the mass of Sputnik, the satellite, to the mass of Jupiter. There is no comparison. He was a tiny, tiny, tiny little celestial body among giants. Giants who ended up making money with him. Giants that ended up, quote-unquote, sarcastically auditing him. Giants that were responsible for verifying to the SEC that he wasn't, like, breaking the law. Yeah, compared to the giants, he was nothing, but he was the sacrificial victim. He was the scapegoat. And so one of the questions that's occurred to me is that this next iteration, who's going to be the scapegoat? And for a while, I really thought it was going to be Elon Musk, because he just seems like a total fucktard. And the Tesla Corporation looks like shit. And a lot of the stuff he did to save his cousin from fucking Solar City, which ominously sounds like Circuit City, and that's a couple financial crises ago. Yeah. It sounds like he did some pretty hinky shit. And, you know, the way in which he saved his cousin was some hinky shit. So I thought, well, maybe it'll be Elon Musk. But actually, it's interesting, because maybe it won't be. And let me explain what I mean. Like, let's say that we get the next crisis, and it's not Elon Musk. It's somebody like this, I don't know, I think his name is Adam Neumann, the WeWork dude, the WeWork CEO. Because that story's looking really, really weird. Like, it was almost designed for a scapegoat scenario. This Neumann guy looks like he's being set up to be a kind of, here's the big tech, you know, gig economy bubble Madoff. This is the guy we can blame. Because I gotta explain this, folks. The thing about Elon Musk is he's also connected with SpaceX. And SpaceX is doing all these amazing space things and supporting the International Space Station. And we see all these fucking movies of these magical boosters that land themselves after hurling the main booster and rocket system into space. And they land on these basically these like oil platforms. And all this might be real, folks. All of this might be 100% legit. I really don't know. As I've stated before, I am cosmologically agnostic. So I am not in the business of telling you the shape of the world. And unless you plan on taking me up in a rocket ship, please don't spend too much time telling me the shape. And if you want to talk about the Foucault pendulum and the fucking Michelson-Morley and how Einstein, blah, blah, blah. If you want to go off and say you have proven definitively what the universe looks like, fine. But prove it. It would be what the actual Tesla, not the Tesla company, but the famous scientist. Tesla would want you to prove it. Not just with math, but prove it in reality. Prove it. Show it. Show your work. So what if this next financial cycle, this Adam Neumann CEO from WeWork is being set up as the Madoff bad guy? And here's the thing, if Elon Musk does survive, What does that tell us? It seems to me it tells us that the reason why he can get away with being so fucking crooked is because he's covering up for somebody else. And when I say somebody else, I mean NASA. Now, what does that mean? I have no idea. Just because NASA might be a big giant evil lie does not imply that the Earth is flat. In fact, the Earth could be a sphere. We could very well be in space. We could just be trapped. We could quite literally be trapped as far as human space flight goes by the Van Allen belt. And we might even be more or less trapped in terms of space probes. I'm not saying that's true, but it might also be true. Like a lot of the stories we've heard about space, maybe even most of them could be total fucking bullshit. And if Elon Musk manages to survive the next financial singularity unscathed, and God forbid ends up with some big giant bailout, because in the aftermath, as I said, with the Scroobilee, people, billionaires get saved in the Scroobilee. People like us, we get screwed. Ordinary people get screwed in the Scroobilee. But in the Scroobilee, rhymes with Jubilee, the most powerful scumbags that ever lived, they get a giant check for nearly fucking the world every 8 years. So maybe Adam Neumann is the chosen scapegoat. Last topic, perfect topic to close out this second podcast of 9/11. Happy 9/11 again. If you want to call me an asshole for saying so, then explain to me what I'm supposed to be fucking doing today. Am I supposed to be grieving? What am I grieving? I'm grieving the deaths of thousands of people, beginning with the several thousand that died on 9/11. But what I don't have, and this is all of us, we are all like Hamlet at this point. We are all wandering the castle, talking to ghosts that aren't there. What I don't have is a plausible explanation for 9/11. That's what I currently don't have. I don't currently have a version of events that makes any sense at all. And if I'm left with the fact that it was all one big scam, then I am left with the biggest murder mystery, well, maybe not the biggest, but one of the biggest murder mysteries in history. And yet, there seems to be so little fucking interest in finding the criminals. And everybody assumes that when, bin Laden's body was dumped at sea in what, 2011? Everyone assumes, oh, that was the end of the story. And nobody asked too many questions in 2014 and 2015 when our own government was funding Al-Qaeda in Syria. That's something to think about, folks. That was about a dozen years after 9/11, and we were funding the same group that supposedly we blame for 9/11. And as far as Afghanistan goes, here's something you need to clue yourself in on. Afghanistan has been open for business, producing the vast majority of the world's heroin for the last decade, and that's mainly due to us. That's mainly due to the United States providing security to people growing heroin and selling it. And that heroin is getting to the streets, and that's killing Americans. There are veterans of the war in Afghanistan that come back to the States and die from heroin that they likely helped defend, or at least maybe not that heroin, they likely helped defend the fucking crops where that heroin was grown. So I don't know what to tell you, folks. I say happy 9/11. I had a podcast earlier today. In fact, it's funny. This is technically number 3 for the day. Wow. I had a podcast early today. I say happy 9/11, but what am I supposed to tell you? I want to grieve. I want to figure out what today is about, but I'm 100% convinced it has zero to do with freedom. It has zero to do with liberty. It has zero to do with a quote-unquote land of the free, home of the brave. You know, when I was a kid, they told me stories about this country. They called it the land of the free and the home of the brave. They called it the land of the free and the home of the brave. But I think it existed in mythology. I don't think it ever really existed. I've spoken about this before, but there's a dirty secret that's related to many of the dirty secrets of American history. And those are the years between the end of the Revolutionary War, the end of the war and the signing of the treaty with Great Britain, and the Constitution, the Constitutional Convention, in 1787. I think it was 1787, I think 1788. And it was about 5 years, more or less 5 years, that we had the Articles of Confederation. And that's about as much freedom as the powers that be could accept. They could accept 5 years before they needed to create a superstructure government. They needed to create some foundational document. And listen, folks, at first, most of the good, decent white people were not the ones being fucked with, so they didn't give a shit. But, you know, pretty much, yeah, almost immediately after the creation of the formal United States Army, almost immediately, they did start attacking Native Americans. They did start stealing land. They did start breaking treaties almost immediately. It's a dirty secret. We don't want to talk about it. This could have been a free country. We were so close. This could have been a free country. We could have avoided all of the lies and all the bullshit. And eventually, you know, the reality that everyone would be enslaved. You see, that's the great fiction of American history. They tell a story about freeing the slaves and how that's kind of like the core theme. No, it's not, folks. That was a lie. The net effect of our history is to create more and more slaves. We have created Hamilton's dream. Hamilton's dream was to create a country that was like a plantation. Congratulations, Hamilton, on your musical, and congratulations on Plantation America. But yeah, when I was a kid, I was told stories about the land of the free and the home of the brave. I don't know what happened to that place. I don't know. And maybe it never really existed. Maybe it was always a lie. Maybe it was always something that was merely the result of the fact that the crocodile couldn't control everything at once at first. It needed to grow. It needed to get power. But it sure as shit attacked Native Americans out of the box. It sure as shit stole a lot of land from Mexico. And yeah, Mexico had its own crocodile, and I'm not going to get between crocodiles and crocodile wars. These are stupid wars. But this is the reality, folks. We could have been a free country, but instead we chose to have power. We chose to have armies. In a lot of ways, what happened with the Constitutional Convention vis-a-vis people like Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin is not unlike the ancient Hebrews going to Samuel and saying, oh, your sons, they're terrible judges, and all the great nations around us have kings. Why can't we have a king? 1 Samuel chapter 8. Why can't we have a king, old Samuel? Give us a king. And what does God say to Samuel? He says, listen, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. When we chose the Constitution of the United States and claimed it was some basis for freedom, we were rejecting freedom. when we said, oh, here's the Bill of Rights, here are the precise rights you have, we actually claim that you could enumerate such a thing. You cannot enumerate my rights. My rights are given to me by God, and they might be very well infinite as long as they don't violate the rights of others. I might be able to do pretty much anything I want to do as long as I'm not denying that same freedom to others. And add to that, as a decent human being, I should not poison the air, the water, or the soil, because that's what scumbags do. But I don't want a document telling me what I can and can't do, because I promise you, in that kind of world, the dirtiest, nastiest, scummiest people you can imagine are the ones who end up in charge. Oh, how is that different from today? And I guess I would just say this to put a cap on it. Sometimes I feel like just a raggedy old dog barking at the moon. I truly don't think any of this might matter much at all. Like this whole podcasting bullshit. It could just be a steaming pile of bullshit. It's just something I'm doing to bide the time until everything falls apart. I could simply be crazy. You, all of you could be the sane ones. And I don't mean all of you, but I mean the ones out there that believe all the happy, shiny, feral video bullshit. You know, everything's great and the future's, you know, looks awesome and everyone's going to have a Jetson space car and a floating home and they'll get all their Amazon deliveries from their private robot rocket ships. You can believe that if you want to. But I really don't see that coming. But that's the thing, folks. I am an old dog barking at the moon. I'm not doing anything effectual. I'm not helping. I mean, I don't know. Maybe some of you say, well, I listen and it helps. Well, maybe it does help to talk to other people or to listen to other people. Maybe it helps to know that you're not alone. That you're not the only person out there. That you're not the only old dog barking at the moon. And maybe that's the only justification for my podcast at all, period. That I'm an old dog barking at the moon and that I'm not alone. That when I howl, there are other howls. When I go out to the backyard and I go, roo, 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 that there are other people out there that do the same thing. And they're just letting me know that I'm not alone. Yeah, so anyways, one old dog barking at the moon to another, to all you folks out there barking at the moon. This might be my last podcast for today. But it's not going to be my last podcast forever, probably. And you don't have to leave, but you can't stay here. So open up that doorway into the nearby universe. You're welcome there. Open that door. They're inviting you in. They're going to let you stay there, that you'll sojourn. Yeah. Anyways, good night, people.